Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning. You all right? How are you doing this fine morning? All good, I hope. Fighting fit, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. How are you, Harry?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, we're all good. We're all set to go. Okay, well, let's jump straight into it. Oh, so hey, hello to you guys. Welcome, hello. You are part of the glorious few, the chosen band of brothers. Joining me on Breakfast with Bo. Breakfast with Bo, colloquially the Bo Show, the BBC, Bo's Breakfast Club, the Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. Big celebrity to get the day going. There's another way of doing it. Right, let's jump straight into the news. What are we looking at? What are we talking about? What is the world talking about today? We are told, world on the brink. Bit hyperbolic. And Trump intent on conquering, quote, conquering Greenland. Both those things seem a bit sensationalist, hyperbolic to me. But let's get into it. All right, let's start with the Daily Mirror today. You know, proper tabloid, bit sloppy. Okay, they go with global tensions rise, world on the brink. Just to let you know, it isn't. Not particularly, not any more than usual, really. Like, really on the brink. You know, the suggestion, there's like a big nuclear submarine there. So we're on the brink of a world war. We're not. We're not. Don't buy it. It's pretty irresponsible, really, isn't it, when newspapers do this? To be perfectly honest. I mean, only the credulous would, you know, believe it and start panicking or anything. But still, it's a bit out of order, really, I think, for editors to do this. World on the brink. Picture of a nuclear submarine and the foreign secretary and Putin and Trump. Like we're about to have a world war. Like there's going to be a nuclear exchange or something. Or there's a World War II or a World War I is about to kick off all around the world or something. World on the brink. It's a bit much, isn't it? I mean, despite everything that's going on, when you look at the sweep of history, we're not on the brink. Now, there's been other basically world-spanning conflicts before, during the Napoleonic era, for example. The various Napoleonic era conflicts, some of them spilled out all over the world, right? When Napoleon took Spain, the capitulations of Bayonne, and suddenly France controls massive parts of Louisiana and America, and he sells them off, and there's conflicts down in Southeast Asia. Or the Seven Years' War, before that even. Earlier in like the 18th century, where there was conflicts that spanned the world, from the Americas to the Spice Islands. Right, we're not on the brink. The world isn't on the brink. Well, I don't think it does. That could prove to be a terrible take, and this time tomorrow, there's a world war going on. But I don't think so. I don't think. If you've got some perspective, a little bit of historic perspective as well, we're not particularly on the brink. Right? There's trouble spots in the world, sure, obviously. I'm not denying that. But world on the brink. All right. The Times. Fan row police chief won't quit. Why do they have to talk like that? Fan row police chief. Like, just speak normally, just write normally. Okay. Head of West Midlands Force, quote, lawyering up, quote, after Home Secretary calls for resignation over decision to ban Israeli supporters. So this story's got a bit of legs. It keeps going, it keeps trickling out. I don't think it's a, well, in and of itself, it's not a giant story, but it just keeps trickling on. One of the things, the angle now today in the press, is that Shabana Mahmood, His Majesty's Home Secretary, wants that police chief to quit, and he hasn't. He won't. And then some reports are saying she sort of asked the police commissioner person who's got the power to fire him and he says he won't, or not yet anyway. And like, so the Home Secretary, the shadow Home Secretary, the Mayor of West Midlands, like the head of Birmingham Council, oh, you know, pretty much all the important real important players in this story all want this one senior policeman to resign, and he's refusing to. There you go. That's the story in a nutshell. Perhaps one other little detail to add to it, which I think is interesting, is that Shabana Mahmood, well, the first thing you might think if you're British or if you know anything about how the system works in Britain, you'll think, wait, can't the Home Secretary simply fire him? Surely, like, all the police comes under the purview of the Home Office, right? All of MI5 comes under the purview of the Home Office. More or less everything domestic comes under the purview of the Home Office, right? The Home Secretary is, or should be, extremely powerful with the ability to do, within reason, most things. Certainly have the authority, the power to just fire a police officer, no matter how senior. So that's what I thought when I was reading the stories this morning and over the last day or two. I'm thinking, if the Home Secretary wants to him to not be in his job anymore, surely she, or he, in this case she, can just do that. At the very least, force somebody like the police commissioner or whatever to order them to fire him, right? And the way Shabina Mahmood's been talking gives the impression that she hasn't got the power to do that. And in fact, even in Parliament, from something I read this morning, I may have it slightly wrong, but it seems like in Parliament, she was saying, we, the government, need to give the Home Secretary the power again to be able to just directly fire policemen like this. And then the shadow Home Secretary, what is it, Philp? Is it Chris Philp? Chris Philip? I think it's Chris Philp. In one article I read, he said, what are you talking about? You do have the power. Why are you pretending you haven't got the power? And that's where I thought, yeah, right. Yeah, I thought they did have the power. I was surprised that the suggestion that she didn't. But the shadow Home Secretary has said that. Said, why are you pretending? I think that was literally the quote. Why are you pretending you don't have the power to? All right, let's move on from that story. I don't think it's that interesting in the scheme of things. I mean, we know what happened. The police lied and covered up for Muslims, for Muslim mobs, basically. They capitulated to intimidation from Muslims in Birmingham and then lied about it. And the Home Secretary won't fire the police chief, seemingly. What more is there to say? Let's move on. Okay. The killing has stopped. Iran avoids wrath of US. So this is in the story. This is one of the stories out of Iran today. There's more, much more Iran stuff. I won't do it in full depth. I won't do like 30, 40 minutes on Iran today because we've done that. But it's still in the news a bit, so we'll talk about it a little bit. It's funny, some reports are saying President Trump is imminently going to start firing missiles and things. And then other stories are saying that he's backing off a bit. A couple of the stories are this quote, that the killing has stopped, i.e. the Iranian regime has stopped killing protesters in their own country. And that Mr. Trump has seen that and noticed that and may well just, you know, ever so slowly slink back from launching things. So kind of conflicting reports on the exact extent to which Mr. Trump is imminently going to do something. So yeah, conflicting reports a bit this morning. But this is one of them, this is one of the angles. The killing has stopped. And well, according to the Times, Iran has avoided the wrath of the US. I think we'll wait and see on that one exactly. There's a picture of some woman in Europe somewhere, I think, with a bit of paint on her head, like she's been shot through the head. She hasn't really. That isn't an image of someone that's been shot through the head. It's a LARPing protester. Okay, the Eye paper. UK military prepares for American strike on Iran. You see, so there you go. So exactly what I was just saying. Another paper says, no, there's going to be military strikes, and it's happening any minute, almost. World on the brink. There you go. It's difficult to know, isn't it, when you're just sitting at home and you've got no real insight, real insight into military planning or anything like that, or the upper echelons, the inner sanctums of power, and all you've got to go on is what various reporters are sort of having educated guesses about. It's not much more than that, is it, really? Like the odd leak here or there from a source which may or may not be completely reliable. And you get to read what they say, and that's it. That's your view on reality. You can take it or leave it. Well, the iPaper is saying that UK military prepares for American strike on Iran. Britain withdraws military personnel from Qatar base ahead of potential Trump strikes on Tehran, the iPaper learns, amid growing belief that action is imminent. There you go. So one paper says Iran has avoided any sort of wrath. Another says it's imminent. Sorry, bit of tea in the moustache there. Get rid of that. The old soup strainer. Okay. Some US forces stationed alongside RAF at Al Udeid, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, Al Udeid Air Base, are also pulling out. So, yeah, that air base in Qatar, near Doha, Al Udeid Air Base, it's like a key one. It's pretty damn big. So it's a pretty big airbase, and they're like the Americans and the UK have got you know, various aircraft, quite a lot of aircraft and things stationed there. It's like ready to rock and roll all the time. I saw someone on Twitter saying there won't be any strikes in Iran because no one's got any bases anywhere near. It will take weeks to nonsense. There's loads of bases all around. They can fly, the British have got an airbase in Cyprus. You can fly straight from Cyprus to Iran and back if you want it. America have got aircraft that can do mid-air refueling. Like the B-2 can fly from Missouri around the world to Iran and back in one go. Well, they're refueled in the air. But nonetheless, they don't need an airbase in the region. Some people on Twitter are so mad. They say stuff that's like just so crazily wrong. A 1 second Google search will... All right, anyway, it's the nature of Twitter, isn't it? What else have we got? Oh, yeah, withdrawing personnel from that base, because many have said that if Iran retaliates, the first thing it's likely to do is hit that base. I mean, if you remember last summer, when Israel was striking Iran and then the US did do B-2 stealth bomber stuff on Iran, and Iran sort of felt the need to strike back. It was really just a sort of a token strike back. Everyone knew it was a sort of a token gesture to say we've retaliated. Well, it was on Doha, wasn't it? I think so. It was on Qatar there. I hope I'm not mistaken on that. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments if it was, but... Most analysts think that if Iran strikes back in any way, it will be at that base. So some are pulling out. Yesterday it was in the news that at least the US said to, I think, all US citizens in Iran, leave, if you can, leave Iran entirely. Once again, they don't usually do that or say that unless they're relatively serious about ordnance falling from the sky. Okay. White House expects retaliation against US bases and allies in event of a strike. Yep. Trump threatens, quote, very strong action, quote, as protesters' death toll climbs to 2,500. Relatives of Oh, that's an individual student. Not so much interested in the story of an individual person, to be perfectly honest. I don't think it really helps. Some say it really does. It, like, you know, it gives the whole thing a human angle. I think it just sort of muddies the waters a bit in sort of the... I think the broader picture is more important for us, people like us, who are just trying to understand, like trying to grapple with what's really happening, muddying the waters with the story of an individual protester and their potential hanging. All right, The Guardian. The Guardian. Trump still intent on, quote, conquering Greenland, says Danes after talks. Washington meeting fails to bridge divide between NATO allies. Yeah, so this is a story that yesterday, I believe it was, you must have been, yeah, yesterday, there were some high-level talks between people from the Trump administration and people from the Kingdom of Denmark's government. And they didn't really seem... It seems like they didn't really agree on anything. There was certainly no deal struck. No actual deal for America to basically buy Greenland, or at least be given carte blanche to use its waters and skies however they feel, and mineral resources. So nothing was particularly resolved. That's the story. So therefore, some, again, people trying to sell newspapers, are saying that Trump will still conquer it. No deal was struck, so he's going to conquer it. I mean, come on, we're not quite there yet. We'll see. Trump did say something, if you remember, a few days ago or a week or two ago. He said something, I think it was just after the Maduro affair, and someone, I think literally like the day after or something, and someone on Air Force One said, what about Greenland? And he said, there might not be anything to do, there might not be anything in this, but Trump said, give me 20 days, come back to me in 20 days and we'll talk about it in 20 days. I mean, I thought, that's very specific. That's like oddly specific to me. 20 days, why'd you say 20 days? He may have just something, he just come up off the top of his head and he just said it out loud and it doesn't really mean anything, but my gut says that they have got like a timetable, time schedule. You know, the planners at the State Department and the Pentagon, they're not stupid. They might be hawkish. They might be, you know, killers, Stockholm killers, essentially, ruthless. But they're not stupid, right? Actually, some might be able to make the argument. All right. What else? A pro-Palestinian activists end prison hunger strike. Couldn't care less. Don't care. Don't care if those pro-Palestinian people were on activists are on hunger strike or not. Got no sympathy for them or their cause. US and UK evacuate staff in Qatar amid Iran fears. There you go. So, all right. The Telegraph. 4 million denied right to vote. Yeah, so this is the story about local elections, which are coming up this year in, is it May? Prime Minister running scared of public, with 27 councils poised to cancel elections. So this is a story. It's not new. Because there was sort of rumblings of this that was going to happen. That in May, the local elections, i.e. for who gets to be councillors and who runs your council, you know, it's actually sort of really important to like your town or village or city, who are the councillors and what they do. In some ways, in some very real ways, it's more important than who your actual MP is. In terms of, you know, getting roads fixed, whatever, all the normal things of making a metropolitan or urban area run smoothly, or even rural area. It is important. Local elections are important, I think. The older I get, every year that goes past, or every local election that goes past, I realise more and more and more that who are the councillors does actually really quite matter. Or who, rather, which party controls the council. Right, because depending on the size of the council, there can be just a few or a few dozen councillors on any given council. And just like in Parliament, well, similar to like in Parliament, whichever party's got the majority of councillors, it's not as straightforward as that either, but will be said to control the council. Right, so let's say your council, your local council's got 30, 40 members, right, and 29 of those are Labour. It would be said that it's a Labour-controlled council. Anyway, Labour get to, if they really want to, win any given vote on things in the council and get their way, right? You get it. It's not that complicated. Well, in May, at least 27 councils are poised to just cancel their elections. That's not nothing. That's a big thing. Because you say, well, why is that? What's going on there? Just why? First of all, first question, why are you cancelling them? Their reasoning is really, really shaky and dodgy. They're saying, we haven't really got the resources. Since the last election, there's been quite a lot of reforms to the way that local government has done. And we haven't got really everything in place. We haven't got all our ducks in a row. We're not ready. So we're not just not going to have an election. That's not good enough. That's nowhere near good enough. That's not acceptable. Not acceptable. No, that's your job. That's your job, is to be ready for it and do it. Because, of course, in any given local area, it's the count, again, like anything else, it's the actual council that will boil down to have, to do all the logistics of that election. You know, have little scout huts or primary schools or whatever, or the local a local hall is used to for voting, or you know, sending out and receiving and collating any sort of postal ballots, or everything that the actual physical reality of the logistics of making that happen falls on the council, or at least the purse strings of it does. So, but think about it. It's really, really dodgy. It's like you're Labour, and you control the council, and you say, we can't have any more elections. Just think how dodgy that is. Just giving yourself more time, just giving yourself an out. And anyway, other parties, obviously mainly the Conservatives and Reform, because all the polls suggest Reform are going to dominate. At the last set of local elections, they did really, really well. Really, really well. Sort of kind of outperformed themselves in a way. Well, that's not even fair. They just did really, really well. It's one of the things that people have always accused Reform of, or any new party, actually. It's like, they always say, look, you haven't even got any MPs, or you've got like one MP. You haven't even got any councillors, or like you've got seven councillors, because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of councillors in the country. Oh, look, you've only got seven councillors. You're a joke. You're nothing. Well, Reform certainly broke that seal at the last election, local elections. They completely broke that seal. They've got loads of councillors now. And in fact, just yesterday, they were gloating about how they've got, what was it, in the order of 20 or 30, I can't even remember the exact number, 20 or 30 Conservative councillors all defected in one go yesterday to Reform. So in terms of, and they actually control a few councils, right? They've actually got one or two mayors, haven't they? So in terms of local politics, Reform are not nobodies anymore. You know, they're definitely sort of established in that theatre of political conflict. Should we put it like that? So they're the ones that are set to lose the most by having loads of local council elections cancelled. It screws with Reform. And if you were even a tiniest bit cynical, you would say that's the whole point. Is that Labour are like pretending, oh, we're not ready, there's been too many changes recently and we're not ready. Is it that you just refuse to allow that council to become Reform controlled? Is that really what's going on? Am I being too cynical even thinking that? I don't think so. I think the establishment, particularly the Labour Party, are terrified of Reform. They needn't be. Nigel is a containment project. But they're terrified. They're terrified of like allowing them to have any more power. Someone suggested the next general election might not go ahead for whatever reason. Just to prevent Nigel from becoming Prime Minister. But we'll see about that. That is a little bit more into the realm of conspiracy theory at this stage, in my opinion. But we'll see. I mean, it might not be, you know. They could manufacture a war with Russia and say, it's wartime, we can't have general elections because it's wartime. And in fact, it's all a smokescreen to prevent Nigel and Richard Tice from controlling the levers of power. I don't think that will happen. But it might do. At the last general election, I had a number of people in my ear saying exactly like when it was Rishi Sunak. It was Rishi Sunak against Keir Starmer. And I had a fair few people say, Rishi's going to start a full-blown, or not necessarily Rishi himself, the establishment, the swamp, the deep state, the blob, will start a proper war with Russia in order to then be able to say, you know, it's full-blown wartime, we must postpone general election. And I was saying to them, I don't see that happening, that's sort of crazy. You only really postpone elections like that, one, if you're an actual corrupt tyrant like Zelensky or whatever, or it's an actual full-blown world war like World War II. I mean, even President Abraham Lincoln didn't postpone a presidential election in the middle of the American Civil War. So I don't see the next general election being cancelled. But having said that, I wouldn't put it past Starmer to do something like that. as I said yesterday, he suddenly finds a backbone when it's to do with his position and his hold on power. If he's, you know, he's super weak on everything apart from that. So we'll see. We'll see. But it is a bit outrageous that so many, I think, you know, it's a travesty, actually. You know, it's a makes a mockery of democracy itself. That they're just going to cancel, or maybe, probably, cancel 27 local elections. Well, yeah, people have said, I think it might be Nigel himself, said that the Prime Minister is running scared. Kind of, yeah, that's what it looks like, doesn't it? That's what it looks like if you don't believe that it's all just to do with a lack of organisation. It's not that difficult to organise it, to get it done. It does sort of look like they're running scared. It does sort of look like they're pulling out any stops to prevent more power sliding towards reform. But again, they needn't even worry. Nigel is a creature of the establishment, like 100%. You know, he's basically a good little globalist boy who'll do as he's told, essentially. Right? He'll just fill his ranks with traitor globalist Tories. So I don't know what the blob is really worried about. All right. Corbynista police boss refuses to sack Maccabee officer. Yeah, so that's what I said. There's a police commissioner in between, essentially, in the pyramid of things, in between the Home Secretary and that senior police officer. Apparently he's a Corbynista, and he's refusing to fire that cop. Home Secretary says, fire him. And he says, nope. That's dodgy. If I was the Home Secretary, then you just fire that guy and get a new one in to do it. Have a bit of backbone. But, you know, can't trust Shabina Mahmood to really do that. Because you can only imagine her sympathies are ultimately with the Muslims of Birmingham. Okay, China super embassy faces court challenge. That's good. So I think it's some of the residents in that big complex of buildings around the Royal Mint are some residential areas, flats. And apparently those people can or are taking the government or China itself to court over, various wrongdoings and weird goings on about the whole thing. So that'll be nice. Whether they'll get very far, I don't know. Sting owed his police bandmates £500,000. Sting. Is he still going? He owes his police bandmates. Okay. See, that's the sort of story. The sort of story, really, it's like semi-slop to me, or basically slop. I mean, it's kind of interesting, but it's not really important, is it? Britain shuts base in Iran over strike fears. Yep. New wind farms will add £1.8 billion to bills. Great. Great. The Daily Mail. Shameless. It's about that cop. Well, he's got a bit of a weird face, hasn't he? Why is he so weird looking? A scathing report condemns West Midlands police lies over its decision to ban Israeli football fans. The Home Secretary declares she's lost confidence in under fire police constable Craig Guildford. But astonishingly, he refuses to quit and the local Labour crime commissioner refuses to sack him. We've done all the details on that, so there you go. The FT, the Financial Times. Reeves's signal on extending pub U-turn cheers hotels. Right, we'll see how deep and extensive the government U-turn is on sort of basically rates on various types of hospitality venues, whether it's pubs, hotels, whatever. Broader rates relief for hospitality. Latest big policy reverse by Labour. Yeah, another story here out of Japan. Snap election. Iron Lady, the Japanese Iron Lady, not Margaret Thatcher coming back from the grave. The Japanese version of the Iron Lady. Bets on her personal ratings to revive Japan's listless conservatives. Yes, apparently there's going to be another election in Japan. So that woman, the Iron Lady, is going to makes the calculation that it will further her interests and her party or her faction of the party's interests if she calls another election. We'll see if that see if that calculation is right or not. US evacuates military base in Qatar as Iran tensions put Middle East on edge. Okay, the Daily Express, oh, it's a good paper. Let's honour nation's injured 999 heroes. So this is just a story that the Express itself has sort of got a campaign to honour people that have been injured in the line of duty, like police officers and things. Not just police officers, but various types of 999 staff, you know, ambulance people and whatever. They've been injured. Like this cop got shot in the face once during, you know, during the line, on the line of duty. So the Express says, let's honour them. Fair enough. Fair dinkum. Fair dues. The Metro. Harry. The Metro. F the Metro. I know Cole doesn't like swearing, but F them. They're the worst. They're literally like a like fifth columnists, aren't they? I can't really tell you the depths of my disgust towards the Metro. It's a filthy, filthy thing. On their front page, they go with one small step to reception. It's a story, a nonsense story as well, that there will be hotels on the moon by, like, was it 2032? By 2032, there's going to be, like, luxury hotels on the moon. No, there won't be. There won't be. That's just utter, utter nonsense. Like, not just like a base where it may be possible for one or two normal people, extremely rich people, to pay to be taken there. Not that. An actual luxury hotel like that with, like, big double beds and stuff. By 2032. Complete idiot. What idiot wrote that, and what idiot editor or set of editors greenlit it and said, yeah, go print that. Morons. I was talking the other day, wasn't I, about the Artemis missions. Artemis 2 hopefully launching in February, and Artemis 3 actually going back, boots on the ground. There won't be luxury hotels on the moon by 2032. Trust me, bro. Okay, The Sun. What's The Sun saying? Oh, some slop. Cheryl's stalker nicked again. So this is that Cheryl Tweedy. This woman. Who used to be in a really lame girl band, Girls Aloud, was it? Years ago. She's got or had or has got a stalker. This guy, this 51-year-old ex-killer. It describes him as a killer. I guess when he was a younger man, he did a murder. Served his time for that. He's been stalking Cheryl. Like, he turned up at her house 4 times. I didn't read all the details, but I read most of the details, and I don't think he did anything much more than that. Although that is stalking, that is still sort of terrifying. She said she was terrified, and I believe her. Right? He got sentenced to a year in jail for stalking, but he's been released after only 3 months. That's it. That's the story. That's the story. That's the front page. That out of everything that's happening in the world is on the brink of war. There's so much stuff going on all over the world of, like, genuine importance and seriousness. But The Sun go with Cheryl Stalker has been released after only 3 months of a year-long sentence. That's the front page news of The Sun. The start. Is it going to be even more absurd? Is it going to be even more sloppy? Let's have a look. Yes, it is. Yes, this is the story. His Royal Skyness. This is the story. Okay, ready for this? Buckle up. It's so intense. It's so serious and real and vital. Where Prince Andrew, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, has been removed from his very, very big plush royal residence. And he's now being forced to live on a much smaller residence on the Sandringham estate. Still very, very nice place to live, ultimately, compared to normal people. he's having Sky installed. Sky TV. That's the story. His royal Skyness. He's having Sky. Oh, but it's the best package. It's the VIP package he's getting. That's the news. That's what the Star. To be honest, it is quite funny. It's so stupid, right? It's so trivial and inconsequential that it's kind of funny. Is it? Let me know in the comments what you think. If you think that is funny or it's just annoying. All right. Let's have a look at the actual websites. The BBC. Okay, they go with the... They say only a mere 21 English councils are asking for election delays. Not 27. Either way. It's pretty bad, pretty bad. Rift at the top of the Taliban. BBC reveals clash of wills behind internet shutdown in Afghanistan, I take it. Let's have a quick look at this. Yeah, apparently there's all sorts of like intrigue at the top of the Taliban going on. And their leader, the supreme leader there, Hibatullah Askanzullah, bibbity bobbity boo. No. Hibatullah Askanzada is their leader. Have you ever heard of him? You wouldn't have heard of him. I've never heard that name until this morning when I was reading about it. Even I'm quite interested in Afghan history and what's gone on since 2021. Still hadn't committed that name to memory. So there's some sort of internal power struggle, tensions in the Taliban in Afghanistan. So there you go. Now you know. Trump told killing has stopped in Iran after violent protest crackdown. All right. Concern for couple jailed in Tehran as British embassy closes. Well, yeah, you would be concerned for them, wouldn't you? If the British embassy closes, then they're sort of on their own then, aren't they, at that point? And if the RAF joined any attempt to sort of bomb the country, then they become basically sort of prisoners of war in a way, don't they? Yeah, it's a tough spot. I wouldn't like to be currently in jail in Tehran as an Englishman, as a British citizen. That would be sort of a worrying spot. X to stop Grok AI from undressing images of real people after backlash. Yeah, so this is where Elon has said, all right, we'll reprogram Grok a bit so it can't do the bikini thing on real people. Ugh, all right. might not really stop someone like Keir Starmer and Andrea Jenkins from doing what they want to do, which is censor all of Twitter or X. I don't know why they care. I was made to put in a bikini a number of times. 3 or 4 times I've seen people do it. It's so not a problem or an issue or anything. Just like, it's a bit funny, isn't it? It's not a big deal one way or the other. But people pretending to be really, really offended. People pretending to be, it matters, like it's a really big deal. There's a story I saw earlier. It was some woman who is sort of... a narcissist, but the type of woman that posts, I'm not sure if she's an OnlyFans woman or not, but she's the type of woman whose social media is her dressing scantily clad, taking loads of pictures of herself in the mirror, scantily clad, and or in actual underwear and bikinis, right? And then someone took a picture of her where she isn't wearing a bikini, she is fully clothed, and they said, Grok, put this woman in a bikini, and Grok duly did it. And then she's getting all pissed off and pretending to be offended about it and stuff. It's just nonsense. It's faux outrage, isn't it? It's faux outrage. It's not real. It's all about censorship. It's not about AI generated images of bikinis, women in bikinis, or anyone in a bikini. It's funny. It's stupid. Like people say, oh, there's some cute little dog, and they say, Grok, put this in a bikini. All sorts of things, inanimate objects. I saw one, I think I said the other day, didn't I? I saw one that was talking about an asteroid or a planet or something, or a black hole or a star or something or other, and it was like, Grok, put this in a bikini. You know, it's, get real, get a sense of humour, really, really. Grow a sense of humour. Although, as I say, it's not about that, is it, actually? All right, it's not about that. Let's move on. Denmark warns of, quote, fundamental disagreement, quote, after White House talks on Greenland. Yeah, it probably is a fundamental disagreement, yeah, isn't there? that America seems intent, hell-bent, one way or another, on controlling Greenland, and Denmark don't want that to happen. That's the fundamental disagreement, isn't it? I don't know why Denmark want it. I think I've only really spoken to or conversed with people from Denmark on the Greenland issue two or three times. And they've all said Denmark, Greenland is like an annoying thing to most Danes. It's like some sort of weight around their neck. It's like something that just drains what relatively little resources Denmark has got already. It's like, I don't know why the Danish government don't see that it probably is in the entire world's, probably in the entire world's interest to let the US have it one way or another. I thought of an analogy, maybe you're in a playground, some big kid from another school comes into the playground with a baseball bat, right? This is like China or Russia. And in that playground are a bunch of kids and they've got one baseball bat. But at the moment, that baseball bat is being held by a really weedy little seven-year-old. But there's a big, burly 15-year-old. He's like, give me the bat, give me the bat. Oh, it's right that I should have the bat. If anyone's going to save us from that other big kid that's just come in, give it to me, give it to me. And the little, scrawny seven-year-old's like going, no, it's not fair. It's not right that you should have the bat. Give him the bat. ICE agent shoot Minneapolis man in the leg. Yeah, do they? Don't get in the way of ICE agents then. Two Palestine Action hunger strikers end protest after 73 days. NASA astronauts begin bittersweet medical evacuation from space station. Yeah, that's a story, quite an interesting story, I thought, for me, being a space nerd. That someone on the International Space Station is ill. You know, genuinely a bit ill. You can't really have that in those enclosed spaces where, like, everyone could get ill. And then if they get seriously ill up there, obviously there's no actual hospital or anything. So if you're on an International Space Station and you get sort of properly ill, it's bad news. You've probably got to come down immediately. If you're one of these people, you're ready to launch. You're like ready to go up on a Soyuz or on an old shuttle as it used to be, or whatever. The Chinese are getting prepared to send you up. They're constantly watching you to see if you're ill. And if you're even the tiniest, tiniest bit ill in the days running up to your launch, they swap you out for an alternative. So it's really bad to get ill in space. And so there's at least one person that they've got to bring back before their time. Zelensky declares energy emergency as biting cold persists. It's funny, I thought he was given insane amounts of billions of pounds, dollars, from all different sectors, particularly Europe, Western European nations, and the US. Haven't the US alone given him, I can't even remember the number, what is it, 80, 90 billion? Is it much, much more than that? And now he's saying there's an energy emergency in Ukraine. Where's all that money gone? Where has all that money gone? And that's just the US, you know. The Europe has given them billions and billions and billions more. Where's all that money gone? Hillsborough law campaigners say they cannot back proposed bill. Okay, David Hockney says, don't care what David Hockney says. Next thing. ITV. It makes you feel inhuman. Patient reveals NHS corridor care ordeal. Yeah. Our NHS, despite how big and massive it is and how much funding is sort of endlessly pumped into it, there's just always stories about how bad the actual delivery is. I mean, to be fair, I've had to use the NHS a little bit here and there in my time. Most people have at some point, one way or another. Something happens and you have to go to a hospital. My personal experience is it's always been pretty damn good. I mean, one time I had to wait for an x-ray and I did have to sit there for sort of 4 hours. But other than that, the small amounts of things. But I've never had anything profound needed to be done on the NHS. So my experience is very limited. And I definitely know people whose first-hand experience was that they had to go to A&E. And it's not like they were bleeding to death or they were going to die in the next hour. So they just had to sit in A&E for hours and hours and hours, like 10 hours, whatever. I definitely know people that have... That's been their experience. And there's always quite often stories about people just having to sit in, you know, people that are terribly ill, in actual trouble, and they're just on a bed that's just left in a corridor. And sometimes people, occasionally, it's an outlier, but it does happen, an old person just left on a bed in a corridor and they die there. What a terrible thing, what a terrible end. See, the way it seems to work to me is that some hospitals are better than others, right? Some hospitals are much more swamped than others and have got much more or less funding than others. So it really depends. You could have more than one hospital in your area, and one of them's really good and efficient, and the other one's a nightmare. That's what it seems to be like. Okay, anyway, there you go. Another story about corridor care ordeal. The amount of money that's spent on the NHS, it should be an amazing service every time, and it's just not. It's a shame. Okay. Grok AI blocked from generating images in revealing clothing, X says. Yeah, Elon, Uncle Elon has said, all right, just calm down. All right, we can change a little bit of code and Grok will stop doing that then. Calm down, pipe down. Layers of bodies, that's a quote, that there are layers of bodies. Protester tells ITV News of a full horror of Iran killings. Yeah, a lot of the reports at the moment are saying between 2,400 and 2,500 people have killed. So that upper limit yesterday of 12,000 seems to have been an exaggeration. But as, you know, even the regime itself has admitted to 2,000 plus. Denmark says, quote, fundamental disagreement, quote, with US after Greenland talks. Okay, we've done that one. Defence Secretary rejects Trump's suggestion NATO should help US take Greenland. Don't know why. The United States is NATO in various ways, in terms of funding. Right? Without the US, NATO wouldn't be much of a thing. It may well, you know, imagine if Donald Trump did say, just came out one day, one morning, and said, right, the US is unilaterally withdrawing from NATO right now. Not one penny more, not one plane more, not one bullet more from now. Would NATO just completely collapse and implode that day? It's a serious question. It might. The vast, vast majority of all the funding and hardware for NATO is the United States. So I saw one story saying that Germany and France were going to do a sort of a joint military exercise, in inverted commas, an exercise in Greenland under the auspices of NATO in Greenland. Getting a bit weird now. Like a fight between cousins or brothers at a wedding, or a mad person just punching himself in the face. What is NATO? What is he doing? What's going on? It's odd. It's a whole weird, odd thing now. All right, Channel 4. Channel 4. It makes me want to puke. Channel 4. Iran, Irfan Soltani execution delayed, but countless more families grieve for the dead. Iran, what we know and what's next. Iran, stop the killing, but not with bombing, says a British Iranian author. Police chief apologises for using AI as evidence of... Alright, Channel 4. Sky News. I'm ashamed of Sir Keir Starmer, says furious rebel. It's mildly interesting story here. It's from a Labour MP. There you go. A Labour MP leading a rebellion against plans for trials without juries, so it's a story about that, has said he's, quote, ashamed of Sir Keir Starmer. He's a former lawyer, Carl Turner, that's Carl Turner MP, a Labour MP. He described Justice Secretary David Lammy as lazy. Sounds about right. Stupid and lazy, should we say that? Can we say that? Is that libelous? Am I going to get a defamation letter from defamation for calling Lammy lazy and stupid? I think it's pretty clear he's stupid. And now also being accused of being lazy. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? They're all their plans to overhaul jury trials for all but the most serious crimes. because there's such a backlog. So don't address immigration. Don't address why there's a backlog. Don't address that. It just completely rework the centuries-old, steeped-in-tradition legal system. The crazy SOBs. Crazy, David Lammy. I think history will look back at people like David Lammy being at the top of government. And it will be, like, scarcely believable. It will seem laughable. It's like, you let somebody like that be the foreign secretary or the justice secretary, deputy prime minister. Someone who's clearly, if not, is very close to being clinically retarded. So a true dumb person, like truly, truly. Not just a bit uninformed, not just a bit slow, not just like, you know, not a great speaker, but obviously struggles to understand most things. Somebody who shouldn't really be in charge of a shop. Shouldn't be in charge of anything, really. He's probably not capable of being in charge of his own affairs. But he's the foreign secretary, or the justice secretary. Crazy. All right, the Daily Mail. Top of the story for the Daily Mail is it sloppy, looks a bit sloppy. Siblings at war? Who cares? Let's see. Daughter who squandered inheritance on meals at the Ivy. That's a very posh restaurant in London, if you didn't know. She squandered inheritance on meals at the Ivy and left her brother with virtually nothing from mother's £5 million fortune. Is morally and criminally wrong, says nephew. How is that a story? Give me a break. The Daily Mail, they put that top. That's front and centre. That's top. That this woman squandered loads of money at the expense of her own brother. Yeah, that's out of order. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, sure. But who cares outside of their family? Outside of her brother and her nephew. That immediate family group. Who cares? How is that important to anything? Iran confirms protest hero will not be executed as Trump reveals Tehran told him, quote, the killing has stopped, quote, after he threatened to take military action. So I wonder if that is what happened, if that was really the case. Trump said, it might be true. That doesn't seem to add up to me, but it could be true. That Trump said, I'm about to bomb you, but I won't if you don't execute that one dude. And Iran was like, done. That's a deal. We're all good, yeah? And America was like, yeah, we're all good. I don't feel like that's probably exactly an accurate view of what's going on. Okay, what else have we got? Have we got anything more interesting from the Daily Mail? I don't think so. Is this the Express? Oh, the Express. Starmer just proved his way out of his depth. The feeble PM's time is finally up. Flip-flopping Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer is a man so clearly out of his depth that his time is surely up. Yeah, sounds about right. I mean, he'll never quit. He would have to be removed by some sort of internal Labour Party, you know, coup d'etat, whatever. He'll never quit on his own. It's true to say, in my opinion, that he's out of his depth, that he's feeble, that he's a flip-flopper. All those things, yeah. I think he is badly out of his depth. I mean, even just look at that image, that picture. Harry, but look, just like a deer in the headlights. Or pretending not to be scared, that look on your face when you're like, I'm not scared, I'm not out of my depth, sort of thing. Just pretending. Meghan Markle is nervous about return to UK as problem revealed. Don't care about Meghan Markle. Don't care about Meghan. Don't ever talk to me about Meghan Markle ever again, the press. Dear the press, stop talking about Harry and Meghan. Who cares? I don't. Some people do, actually, to be fair. A lot of people do. A lot of people do. I just happen not to. All right, the Sun goes with Cheryl Stalker. He's been nicked again. He's been rearrested. Cheryl Cole's a bit old. Not that she's a bit old, although she's a bit old. What I meant was, what I was going to say was, it's the story of what happens to Cheryl Cole and her, like, Cheryl Tweedy, sorry, in her life. It's a bit of an old story. Isn't it like 20 years ago, that band, when she was married to a footballer and was, like, you know, one of the most glamorous, one of the most hottest women on in, like, the glitterati. Wasn't that 20 years ago? Why are we still talking about Cheryl Tweedy in any way? It's not news, is it? All right, I've noticed we've actually got about 5 minutes to go, so if you have a super quick look at what's going on in America. Republicans block effort to check Trump's power in Venezuela. US races to sell Venezuelan oil, transforming ties with former foe. Venezuelan immigrants urge appeals courts to restore deportation protections. Okay, that's the New York Times. The Washington Post. Trump says Iran has stopped killings of protesters as US weighs military options. ICE agent shoots man in leg at Minneapolis protest as protests flare. Greenland meeting ends with fundamental disagreement. All the same stories, really. Okay. Let's have a super quick look at the Los Angeles Times. Judge sceptical on ICE agents wearing masks in case that could have national implications. California, obviously a very, very blue state, very, very Democrat state, anti-Trump, pro-mass immigration of God knows who. So they don't like ICE agents wearing masks. Because what? They want to dox the individual ICE agents. And federal officer shoots person in leg after... Okay, national park staff are asking about the citizenship status of visitors. Yeah, good, so, what's wrong with that? California surfer escapes shark attack that shreds his board and wetsuit, and he drives himself to the hospital, was that story. All right, well, we've only got a few minutes left, so I'll quickly read some of the super chats. Okay. Wassive Manker says, "Morning, Bo. I want one of those brow mugs for thy office. Have a word, will ya?" Yeah, they're all right, aren't they? They're quite good. They're quite good. Could I mean, you have to go to the Lotus Eater store. Go to lotuseaters.com, and then there's like a merch store tab. You can find them there. Get yourself one. Do it. Make it happen. All right. CWYE says, "Youth don't watch TV anymore. Your show brings some nostalgia and structure to my mornings, a feature of the day once lost. Best Ellie show. It's mint. Cheers." That's lovely to hear. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Really do. You are what makes this happen. Can we go between the different cameras? No, Harry's not even sitting at the thing. Harry, you're even sitting there. Okay. He is. All right. Michael Hassler, DL9UX, says, "Bo, recommend reading and political philosophy known as Ivan Ilyin, in particular his book on the essence of legal consciousness. Perhaps you could do a book discussion on it. He's up there with the likes of Thomas Carlyle." Okay, interesting. I'll have a look at that. I don't know. I'm not familiar with Ivan Ilyin. I must admit, I'm not familiar with that. So I've read a bunch of Carlyle in my time. So if you say he's up there, I'll at least give him a Google search, see what's going down on that one. Interesting. Thank you for that. $20. All right. Cuban922 says, "As an American working overnight, thanks for the show." No, thank you. Part of the glorious band, The Chosen Few. The Bo Show. Seriously, thank you for joining us. It really wouldn't be anything otherwise. Thomas Glindauer says, "Watching Danes mobilise their military in preparation for a US invasion is hilarious. It's like watching my toddler build a pillow fort and hide in it when I tell her it's bedtime." Yeah, compared to the US military, the Danish military is not... I mean, Trump made a joke. He said something like, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, "Watch out, the Danes are going to send two more dog sleds to defend Greenland. It's so dismissive and obviously a joke, but it's not much beyond, like, if America decide they want to use force to just take Greenland, which I wouldn't get behind incidentally. But if they did do that, it would be no contest whatsoever. It would be completed in a few hours. It's just not any sort of contest. I mean, obviously so. Tezvan Y8Y just gives a donation, doesn't say anything, but thank you. P Jackson 6688 says, just ordered four Islander, I guess number four, or four Islanders for friends and family. Oh yeah, I just ordered four Islanders for friends and family. Brilliant, great, cool, yeah. Just a quick, super quick chill. Islander magazine, it's a Lotus Eaters magazine. It's brilliant. It's properly glossy and professional. Properly so. And there's great articles in there from very, very intelligent and important people. I mean, there's an interview there from of Rupert Lowe MP. There you go. Rocketman 5252 says, loving the show, Bo. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, that takes us to the top of hour. It has just struck a 9 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time on Thursday, the 15th of January in the year of our Lord 2026. Do try and make the best of the day. Carpe diem, seize the day. Do try and make a count if you can. We've only got this day once in history. All right, so until tomorrow, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.